him, well, the shaila you were talking about, for the shaila, now it's very much negel halacha. If the two, the parents of the kala and the chassan live on the west side, the gale to me was years ago. I married a girl around the corner, so my shver and my parents lived on the east side. Right, so you ate one night by one, and one night by the other one, right? Before you had children, before you had what equals, that's the way it worked, right? What did you do about making an erev tavshin like lokish chaga? Is one of the three things that's mutter. You can't make an erev tavshin like lokish chaga alone. How do you light the candles? I don't know. It's your problem to figure out. I got my psak or something to get here, but you were just talking about the sinyan of what is this. And just another thing to think about, since you're thinking already, Hoyel is a Shashem Akoyoch, and I'm going to give away my food, right? The whole idea I'm cooking for Yontif for Shabbos is because I want to eat on Shabbos. I'm not giving away my chomp. All of it for sure not. What's the head of Hoyel? Something to think about. I'm going in basic, more basic than the thing. The whole head of it, it's really Yontif because I can feed it on Yontif. I'm not eating it on Yontif. Guaranteed not to eat on Yom Kippur. You know a klal, on first of B'shus, B'shakelo, B'shus, whatever I call it, dear friends. In the parashas, we have a klal, that parashas by Midbar is always before Shavuos. And the klal is count and be mekabel. So I just brought down with Yankee Femden said, yeah, but other places. The actual terminology is a little different in some places, but the Ikir is count and be mekabel. Okay, what's the purpose of counting to be mekabel? Miniki said, you know, we have Gansu Musa of about the 49 days, and each one is to be Sakin Amida, and all that sounds very nice. But what's the point of counting the numbers of klal Yisrael? Shiva Zatzal used to say, that basically it's an ikkar preparation for you to realize who you, what your potential is and what's expected of you. That Moshe Rabbeinu was one and everybody else was one. Only at the Kohanim, Aaron HaKohen wasn't counted, but the Shalot and other Kohanim, they got to give the Matzah Shekel. Moshe Rabbeinu had to give a Matzah Shekel because he was over the age. But the Maisa, if he would have been the right age, he would have definitely had to give. So, how do you compare? Yet, each person, Klal Yisrael, is counted. I'm somebody. You can use a Lushot Lushin in English. Stand up and be counted. I mean, it's something that that means be something, be somebody. But we know ourselves, we know against other people, whatever it is, then, you know, what am I going to matter myself? You know, and the kids in class definitely have this problem. You know, I'm not going to be the best kid in class, and it's actually I'm not going to become a Talmud Chacham, so my nafka mina. The truth is, with that attitude, the guy can live to be 1,000 years old, and he's not going to still be the same Amoritz that he was now, because he's never going to sit down to learn. So there's never any purpose in his, basically, to sit down and learn, to understand, because, you know, it's no point. You have Achia Shiloini that the Rambam brings down in his Hagdome when he counts the 40 Doros between Moshe Rabbeinu and Ravashi. So Achia Shiloini was Mikabel from David HaMelech Umiyotzi Mitzrayim. He came out of Mitzrayim. Why are you telling me this fact? Well, it might not be a minute, the fact that he came out of Mitzrayim, he didn't come out of Mitzrayim. But I think the Rambam's trying to tell you that he must have been over 500 years old. And yet he was Mikabel Teirah from David HaMelech, who was only 70. And I assume that he was still sitting in Yeshiva, so that means he was Mikabel from Shmuel HaNovi, though died at 52. And if you go back, whatever one's there, so basically here's this old man being Mikabel from young kids, comparative to him, and the point over there, until one day around, they say, it's your turn, Yerachi HaShilayim. What was he till then? Obviously, he didn't become anywhere near that. I don't want to go into the point, you know, the Talmud of Rav Preda, that the, just give an expression of what he is, this Talmud of Rav Preda. I assume that someone told him the Gemara, the Gaitiv Lemetzosi Al Tamin, and it went into his Kishkis, ganz good that he knew that it meant seriously. So he sat down. It took 400 times each time to explain it. So, you know, you always say, you know, a Rebbe maybe can find such a dedicated Rebbe, maybe. But a Talmud, you'll never find someone that can listen more than five times and feel that, you know, there's hope for him to understand. Usually it's after five times, I'll never understand, there's no point, whatever it is. And this man sat and for 400 times until it went into, how much can he get a day? One halacha, two halachas, five halachas, whatever it is there. Not too many, right? It'll be definitely each day 400 times less than somebody else. That's only a question of kishlin. But ultimately, in understanding, you can understand that Zobar Kibbeh as anybody else can after 400 times. So it comes out that you imagine this kid coming to a yeshiva. I'll give you the mashalim by us. You know, a kid comes in the ninth grade. He's been this type of a child that he's been chazaling 400 times to know it. And Ben Azdorim, the Rosh Yeshiva, is giving a shir, right? He's giving to the kollel, and this kid sneaks in. He wants to hear too. Everyone is saying, "What are you doing here? You know, you're a kid. Go out. You know, it's nothing to you." He says, "What's the problem? I'll keep chazaling it until I understand it. I got no problem. Nothing is impossible for this kid. Basically, it's just a question of going over and over again. It doesn't mean recording. It means personally with a kash and a tevetz, a rayin, and an upshlog, to tzdodim, whatever it is. However, Rebbe will explain something. But Lemaise ultimately pieces chap until he can get the whole sugya. So that's what happens. If you live to be 500 years, you can become a chiyashimini. And that's the lesson I think that the Rambam is trying to tell us. So first of all, everybody has to understand that his potential is as great as can be. It's all up to the Ben Shalom and Sarichis Yomim will have, and how much time he'll have to learn. But Lemaise, as far as his personal potential, it's great. So therefore, I am one. Secondly, I think the person has to realize that he has to count, meaning he has to make a difference. Find Yankif Avinu, it says, Ayitzi Yakim Be'er Sheva. So it says, Yotzehoida, Yotzehador, Yotzeziva. Right? That's not true. Yitzhak Yavitzki remained in Be'er Sheva. So the Gracie, the neighborhood is dead, is not true. So how come we said the neighborhood is dead? Because Yaakov isn't here anymore. And that hashpoya, whatever Yaakov was, that is missing. And even though it was l'chera very minimal, comparatively, to Yitzchak and Rivka, because he was a yeshitam yeshivahalim. He was sitting in the base medrash. He wasn't out there, you know, talking to the people and paskin and shaylas or anything else that it was. Poshin zayin an elachiyid, in the neighborhood, when someone is an emes elachiyid, he comes to daven, he comes to the shiurim, he comes to, and when he asks a little, Ezer is not here anymore, they all of a sudden, it's not the same anymore. To say it's worse, better, that's a different parashah. But it's not the same. This person is missing. This neighborhood is not the same way it was yesterday. And that every person in Klal Yisrael can reach that matzeige. And that's definitely expected from everybody. And that's the commitment that a person, by knowing that he has to be counted, has to make before he's mekabel the Torah. Now, what is this Kabbalah that we're expecting from him? So the Ikir Kabbalah that we want for him is Kol Asher Diber Hashem and not Kol HaDvorim Asher Diber Hashem. Parshas Mishpatim, it goes through the whole thing. I'm not going to go through why Kol HaMishpatim, because in Yisrael it says Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nasi. In Mishpatim, which is one day later, it says Kol HaDvorim Asher Diber Hashem Nasi. Then it says when the Ben Shem didn't accept that as a Kabbalah, it says Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nasi V'Nishma. So I'm not going to go into different level, but the last two is in the Geya. So the Ben Shem doesn't want Kol HaDvorim Asher Diber Hashem Nasi. That means I evaluated everything that came out and I divided it in different dvorim and I said, you know, they all make sense. That's not a Kabbalah Tateva, that's a Kabbalah of your own das. You decided it's okay, so now you're willing to accept it. Li Yitzur, you didn't understand it. Like many people say, I don't understand it, I don't do it. That's not a Kabbalah Tateva. Kabbalah Tateva is Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nasi. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's what we're going to accept. Whether we understand it, we don't understand it, and so on. The kasha is why Kake, we need that total commitment. I mean, besides the fact that he's saying, you know, it's my Torah, not the Ben Shem's Torah, but it's more in understanding. I'll give you a moshul. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Cecil Rothman. I'm sure you did. He's a historian, whatever. He's often conservative guy. considered one of their, scholars. He writes in his bird's eye on Jewish history, bird's eye view of Jewish history, he writes, Rashi is a pirush, a naive pirush, good for children. Okay. We laugh at it, chuckle at it, because it's stupid. Why? But let's see his point of view. I assume he was a bright man. Let's see, even genius category, right? Caliber, he holds, he's a Horovitz, he's a scholar, goes over the subjects, text, and he has a shvelkeit on Rashi, and he can't make a cheshbon, he can't make heads or tails of it, so Rashi must be wrong. It's as simple as that. By us, we have the same kasha on Rashi, right? So how come we don't decide Rashi must be wrong? Because you know who Rashi was, at least in the Seire, that Rashi is the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. So if you don't understand, it means the problem is in you. So all of a sudden, you sit for hours and days or weeks, possibly, until all of a sudden your eyes light up and say, that's Pshat of Rashi. Now I understand. All of a sudden, even though you worked it out. But the idea is, if you didn't believe in Rashi, you never would have worked out this point. That's the godless of understanding of when you say something is said by somebody that you respect beyond what he thought. When you accept the Torah, you understand it's God-given. Yisrael points this out to us very strongly. He comes after Moshe Rabbeinu tells him all the things. He says, "Ati yadati ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'olahim v'ashezodu aleihem." Now I know God is bigger than all the gods. He didn't believe in any other gods. What do you mean, bigger than all the other gods? He should have said what, I'm not going to go into the pshat, Naaman, but he said, something like that, this name. But what do you mean, Ati Yadati, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Ha'olahim? The pshat is like this. I always thought justice, the definition of justice is might makes right. Right? The whole world says that, right? Might makes right. All the demonstrators against capital punishment, against any type of the laws, whether it's the dope laws or anything else it is, says you're in charge, you make the laws, that's why we have to follow them. I be in charge, I make different laws, and therefore you'd have to follow me. So it's might makes right. It has nothing to do with whether it's real good right or wrong right. So there's no real concept of justice, right? But I learned from Bashezodu Aleihem that justice means, if you didn't want it done to somebody, if you don't want it done to you, don't do it to somebody else. In other words, if you did something to somebody else, that means you're willing to accept the consequences that that could be done to you. And if you're willing to do that, that's justice. It also makes people bali midas. Kids understand this very well when they ask you, you know, when you start giving them rules and asking how to behave, it somehow they always flunk the test. If man, you know, 2 days I behave, 3 days I don't, whatever it is. You tell them the klal of Hillel, on the son of Loch, l'chaver le'savid, all of a sudden they understand very clearly what's right and wrong. In other words, you don't like it, just don't do it to anybody else. There is no excuse. If you don't like it and you still did it to somebody else, then you understand you did something wrong. And that's a very simple lesson. And that he understood. And if we know that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the only reason he says we got to this is because the Torah is written by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, by something that's a god. All other religions, all other Avodah Zarah ba'olam are written by humans, and therefore Gadol Hashem Mikol Ha'olakim Kol Olahim. Because basically we see from here that the God is trying to teach you something with the mitzvahs. It's not just rules and regulations and the thing. That each mitzvah is a hashkafah behind it. There's an understanding behind it. We got to work on it to understand it. But that's the idea. So when we make a Kabbalah, Kol HaShadib HaShem Naseh, and we're going to work to understand it, and then all of a sudden we learn something out of it. But if we say, I don't understand it, I don't do it, obviously you're never going to go anywhere. So that's the Kabbalah Sater. Now we happen to add Nishma to. Kol HaShadib HaShem Naseh B'Nishma. I'm just going to put in the Roshivis Pshat just to give it a little clearer. He asked the Kashi, the normal way people understand it is, that we'll learn after we do it. Now, it was first Nasi, then Nishma. So he said, if that was a Maile, then Kol HaShadib HaShem Nasi without the Nishma is a bigger Maile. I'm never interested in understanding it. I'm willing to follow God blindly. So Nishma, he says, is the Messiah. Nishma means I will listen to how my Rebbe's understand it. One of the reasons for it is to remove the negius that they said originally. Only when I understand it am I willing to understand, take it, to accept it. So therefore you have a negius in understanding things the way you want to understand it. The biggest bittle of that negius is to take someone else's word on how to explain something, and therefore that's what we want you to accept. One mile it does for us is under normal circumstances, a person who has a shayla has no heter to ask a rabbi. Since you're mekabel the Torah, I'm going to listen to God's will, so it's my job to find out what God's will is. I can't go over and ask somebody else God's will. Maybe he's wrong. What are you asking him for? Right? So basically, you know, like by the IRS, they tell you distinctly you can have a preparer, but you're responsible regardless what the preparer tells you. So why isn't it the same way by all the Rav? I ask the Rav. The Rav tells me this is pshat. He happens to be wrong. So we also should get punished. And yet we all say, still, the rabbi's fault. What do we want from me? We're innocent. Where did we get that head there to be able to do that? Punk from here. Because we made a Kabbalah Satere that we would follow the Torah. Even if we don't understand and follow our Rebbe's interpretation, means we don't understand what he's telling us. Afal became, we're willing to do it. So that means I have a right to rely on it. So if I can ask him in the beginning, he goes, I don't understand, tell me what to do. And so that's the good point of Nasirinishma. Now we have to understand what Kabbalahs did we make. The main thing is the Hishtadlus. We have the Torah has many laws that we don't know how to deal with them. I'm not going to give them to that question, it's a question between the Atzma. But in all Hishtadlus keneged b'tochen emuna. Emuna b'tochen emuna. You have to make panosia, mishtal for panosia. How do I give tzedakah? How am I mevater on my money? L'chayre, if I'm supposed to chaperay and everything I can make because I got to be mishtadl, how do we have a letter? So there's things that you rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certain things aren't his hands, and justice works the same way. You have the same halachim when a guy's sick. How much do I rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How much do we rely on the doctor? And so on and so forth. So you have shaylos and then things to ask. That's the mesorah. When did this come into play, the mesorah, so strongly in our lives? When Yankif Avinu was mekayim his neder. Yankif Avinu's neder was, when we say Shmonesra, we say Elkei Avram, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkeinu Elkei Aviseinu, Elkei Avram, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov. If it's only an identification of who our ancestors are, then it should have said Elkeinu Elkei Aviseinu, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, not Elkei Avraham, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov. When we say that, then there's a special elikus by every one of them besides Elikei Avisenu. And we have to understand what else. You find one, South Lefon Abi Yisomim, that's Elikei Avraham. Yitzchak would probably be the Akedah, but exactly what Nekud of the Akedah, there's different ways of learning. So I'm not going to go into it. Because the only time you don't find the word elikus written by Yitzchak, except that when the Rebbein Shem came to Yaakov, he said to him, I am Elikei Avraham, Elikei Yitzchak. So obviously there was a Kabbalah of Elikus by Yitzchak too. And then you have Elikei Yaakov by the Parashas Vayetze when he falls asleep and over there on the thing. What did happen until then? 14 years he slept, he was in Yeshiva, and you can't say he didn't sleep because the Gemara in the Dorum says that if the Zayis makes a nether not to sleep after 3 days, you give him Malkus. I assume Yaakov Avinu was human, because if someone's going to tell me that he was different, there are humans that don't need sleep, so how can you give a guy Malkus? Maybe he's also one of those humans. So obviously it's impossible, whatever that means, it's impossible. So what does it mean he didn't go to sleep? He didn't go to sleep. He sat by the shtender, and I guess every so often went like that. 2 seconds later he was up again and good for another 12 hours. And then kept going with that. Came out of Yeshiva. Well, the first thing he does, he goes to Yishalip. He goes to sleep. What does that mean? In other words, that in Yeshiva, it's total dedication, total Mesiras Nefesh. You disregard the Ich, we disregard the Gashmias completely with total dedication. Become a Balabos, living a life, and all of a sudden I'm entitled to a certain amount of Gashmias, whatever it is. And the Rebbein Shem told him, and made by making him sleep in the Mokim Hamikdash, to understand that Gashmis is always part of the Ruchnis. If you utilize it the right way, then it's part of Ruchnis. If you don't utilize it right away, it doesn't make a difference. You can be in yeshiva or not in yeshiva. So basically, if you're a yeshiva bacha, you have to use the sleep to give you a keches to continue learning. If you're a balabos, or whatever it is, it has to give you a keches to do whatever you do, the Shem Shemayim. Whatever, the panos is also Shem Shemayim if you do the right things with it. But you have to have it, but that's part of your life to do it. Now, here we have a big problem. How do you decide what is enough and what is too much? And then you need a Messiah. So it's interesting, you find before the Kabbalah, before the Kim HaNeder, you find Shimon and Levi had the argument about Shem, they wipe out Shem. You don't find that they ever did tshuva. They didn't even apologize. In other words, you have an opinion, we have an opinion. That's not dangerous when everybody's total commitment is to Avedis Hashem. And we don't live with the Gashmis. So even if your cheshbon is faulty, but Lemaisi, you're going to not be able anything too badly. Because Lemaisi, your kavonas are straight. When you put in the Gashmis that comes in, if they live with the Gashmis, that part of life, now I need how much, when, can I trust my own judgment? Is that because I'm in a gay abidava? Then becomes all the problems. So Ruvain, who comes afterwards, is the one who has to do tshuva. Because he did. Even though many people will argue, I mean, definitely not Frume, will argue that, hey, Ruvain was probably right. It's his mother, what gave him a right, Yaakov, to do what he did, whatever it is over there. But Ruvain understood that he has to do tshuva, because if not, it's going to remain that machshava. But how do you do tshuva on something that if you admit what you did, half the people are going to agree with you? So he had to wait till Yehuda was choyte, and the thing that everybody understands, whatever pshat who is, how could Yehuda be choyte? That's not negated to me. But it's when whatever happened over there was human. And everybody can say, you know, he's human, he did something wrong, right? Ruvain got up at that time and said, you think that's bad? What I did, arguing with Yankif Avinu, is a lot worse. And by giving that comparison and waiting for that, people get it to think about it. Why is that a lot worse? And so on, to understand that the end of the Mesira, in other words, all of a sudden I can decide I'm arguing with the Mesira, with the Kabbalah of the Torah, and so on. So obviously it shvachens up the whole Torah. So therefore, it's important. That's for that reason, Yehuda gets the schal. You know, it's very interesting. He says, "Lo minis b'chorashi brings down in bracha. Why do you have Yehuda's bracha next to Ruvain's? Because who is Goram Ruvain to do tshuva? Yehuda. Might not mean it. It's a personal thing. It's not a personal thing, because that puts away the concept of the Mesorah for all time, and therefore it came through Yehuda that we have to elevate him even Shmosai and get into Beis Medrash. You can understand the Shia, whatever it is that which he didn't have before. Okay, now how did we start losing the Messiah? The thing over there. So we have push it. We're not as big as our parents, so it is a natural, I guess, loss. You have it in Pirkei Avos, it's very clear. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, Masru Yehoshua, Yehoshua liSkenim, Skenim Levim, Levim Anshe Knesset Hagdola, and then you have Shimon HaTzadik, who miYorei Anshe Knesset Hagdola, and then you have Antignish Isoichoi kiblu mimenu mehem. Why do you switch back to kibel? Why didn't it say he was Moshe Tantignus and Yisoicha? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, when the expression of kibbutz means I can only accept, I accept as much as I can take, but not necessarily as much as he has to give. Moshe Rabbeinu is Poshit. He cannot accept the whole Torah. He did not accept the whole Torah, whether it's 49, what do you call it, Shorim of Chochmah, that he had, that the Rabbeinu was 50. Whatever these things mean, Moshe Rabbeinu did not get the whole Torah. So Moshe kibbutz Torah miSinai. But whatever he got, he was Masrua li Yoshua. He gave it over in its totality to Yoshua, and Yoshua to Skenim. But when it got to Antigone Shisoichoi, then all of a sudden he was at a lower level, whatever that means, and he was only able to, he was only a kibelt, he was not anymore a maskur. And from then on, there were only kibelts. There was never anyone that was able to give it over to maskur. And what's the first thing we know about him? Not in the mission itself, but in the rab, whoever brings him the thing. He had two talmidim, tzaddik and baisis, who misunderstood him. And because they misunderstood him, they went out to Tabasor. Either Rambam says because they really were wanted to go to Tabasor, they just needed a justification to do it, or they actually made a choice. It doesn't make a difference. But Lamaise, it was enough of a fault, I don't know what you want to say, that we can be tolly it and say that this is what caused it. How did it happen? Antigone Shisoichei, don't forget, was Mekabel from Shimon HaTzadik, who they were always guys, we all understand what we talk about. We call it the Mize, but whatever it is, the guy says something, hints at certain things, and 99% of the time you understand it. But not always. Till him, they always understood it. There's never a problem. And he learned to speak B'loshin K'tzorah. Whatever it is, without any grace of terrors, I don't have to explain too much to you because I expect my Talmidim to pick up everything the way I say it to them. Unfortunately, we've entered the Madregis of Lesser, and at that point, he couldn't give it over to these people and should have been more careful now he gave it over, but he didn't have that chinuch to give it over, so therefore, unfortunately, the Arabi came. So that's the normal progression of life. It'll happen because I'm an Ashiya, personal making. Catch up what he said in that year, and therefore, because of that, I'll make an error. Fine, but that happens. That's, again, it's a small thing. It's nothing small, by anything. But then there's what's called the pshia, where a person does something, he loses the Messiah simply because he's not interested in continuing it. Now you'll say, what are you talking about? You know, we're not talking about Shkotzen over here. We're talking about Chumah Yidden, guys who go to yeshiva and everything. So you have a malache in the Teire to Pashveira, Layerim. So he explains over there, he goes in to say that the Dinovi is, you're not allowed to go only to Rab Chodem L'Malach Hashem, is the Vakish Torah with people. Why? Why do I need to do Malach Hashem? Anything over there mean? Because when I come to a Rebbe, I have to be able to accept everything that he has to give me. And we'll see in a second what's about. Rebbe Meir, we see, the Machlekes in the Gemara. He followed Acher, and Acher would tell him, Ad Kan from Shabbos, he would stop, and the Chachom had tainis on him, why are you learning about Acher? And he says, don't worry, I throw away the junk and I keep the good stuff. Right? We had no havamina that there would be that Rav Meir would not do that. Right? So what was their taina on Rav Meir? The taina is Rav Meir, you're picking and choosing what you want to take from your Rebbe. That means it's not, it's called hadvorim you're doing. The whole idea of the Messiah is kol hashadiber. I have to be that way and you're not doing that way. You're deciding what you want to accept or not accept. And that automatically is the worst thing that can be as far as the Messiah. And that's the same thing when a guy goes and he goes to his Rebbe who's not doing L'Malach Hashem, he's the one that's going to have to choose and pick what is it that he wants from Mekabel. And by that, he automatically lost the Messiah. And of course, he also can make errors in what's considered right and wrong. And the same thing applies in our time, even worse maybe, that we in our time we don't even have Rebbeim, if you think about it. And I know this from time to time from Shailas and Shalom Bayis and Taylors and stuff like that, but I don't sit on them, but just the point of I always ask the person, okay, who has influence on this person? No one. What do you mean no one? He went to yeshiva? Nah, he went to five yeshivas. Which is what our guys do, every one of them. Right? You go to your yeshiva, goes, finishes high school, maybe a year best message, goes to yeshiva B. Right? Then goes to El Yisrael, goes to the Yeshiva C. And in El Yisrael, he switched to Yeshiva D. And then he goes back to America and it's in the E. Who's his Rebbe? I'll tell you even better, in case it's something that you haven't picked up, and I'm sure you have. Not only is the Talmud not the Kabbalah Rebbe, the Rebbe's not the Kabbalah Talmud. I want you to understand, you go there, you know, they, our Rebbeim have become Magidei Shir. They're not Rebbeim anymore. They only say a lecture. You want to talk about my lecture? Yizunta Heit. You come to El Yisrael. You're going to ask all the kashas you want on my Shir. You want to talk about your personal problems? I'm busy now. I haven't time in here. Why should I get involved in Soros that I can't really figure out and help out? The thing, the guy's coming to me for a year, 2 years maximum. He's not my Talmud. I'm not, and I'll get more guys who will listen to my shir. I don't need this guy. I don't want to help him. Where did the Ava, the Achva grow? From who? And here, the same thing exists. Guys leaving, everyone is expected to leave a year after high school or after high school. Who cares about him sufficiently to guide him straight through all the problems that he has? May have a Rachmanis to get Rebbe, maybe, as Rachmanis from him, thanks God when he gets promoted, because it lets his problem become the next guy's. They're not interested, not because they're not interested, Chas v'chil, it's a big word. They are interested. They haven't got the time, there are other things that are pressing, and a Megillah Talmud, just like a Talmud is a child. Do you ever have not time for a child? Do you ever say, I'm too busy for a child? If a child has a problem, it's no matter what it takes, you sit down with him, right? A Talmud has to be a Talmud before I do that. And because of that, our Dovers get raised without having a Rebbe. Without having a Rebbe, they can also make anything they want, whatever it is there. And especially if some of the Rebbeim they don't even hold of, I only go for a Shir, I don't go for anything else, and then you surely have a problem, because they're actually doing exactly what Rebbe Meir did, whatever else, which is a big time. And this is a big problem that we're facing with. It's something that we have to think about what to do about it. Now, another thing is, I'll tell you for the Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah of Michal, a cousin of mine. In the Yom in Salzburg, used to tell me the story many times. I remember the master of Michal. So, he told me that when the Rosh Hashanah was coming to America in 1936, the Michal was a mir. And you didn't just make trips at that time. You were going to catch the boat, and you make sure you catch the boat. They made up to meet at a certain place, which was fit into everybody's cheshbon. And he was there for a few hours. So Jan Salzberger told me, when he came back, for months and months, he kept saying over the Fetel Steyre, what the Fetel told him at that time. I mean, the guy was only a couple of hours. Well, how can you tell me for months and months of time? So I'll tell you, Pshat in an Avistrat Nosin, it's in a few places. Oh, has the same. Has the Maisa, Rabbi Lezer was dying. And Rabbi Akiva, Chaberov came, Rabbi Lezer Manazayas, and others came to Vakachele. And Rabbi Lezer gets very upset at them, and he gives them Musa, and he says, how come you didn't come to learn all these years? All this time, whatever. Didn't have time, didn't have this. So he says, I don't know if any of you are going to die a normal death. And Rabbi Akiva says to him, what about me? You're the worst of all. And we know the death that Rabbi Akiva had. And the thing is that the Emerson, according to normal Kabbalah, we should not be naming our kids Akiva. Besides, so they have an Elchi soil, but they have a hay. Ones with an Aleph, we got to figure out how they got back to the Aleph. The ones that then, because his death was not a death that we want to follow. And we're not interested in saying, I want my child to grow like him. In the mushel that he gives to them when he balls them out, he says, your knowledge, and the Mephoshim said, this is a guy here, he doesn't mention, most of us mentioned in Kala, he says there's like the licking of a dog in the yam. Obviously he was giving them the musa of the dog. My knowledge connected that my rebbeim is kishipfer as a brush in the yam. God in he says even bigger, if all the seas were yam, were ink, and all the trees were things, and all the people were, you could not get over my tater that I have to get. I mean, that's a little bit of a guzman, I would say, right? And then he gives him vayit and he says, I have 300 halachas in the magic of kishuyim, and only Rabbi Akiva asked me only once about one of them. I mean, it's the whole total halachas of the 299 never taught to anybody. But again, you come out Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you come out Tanoim. I mean, all right, we know Rabbi Elazar maybe was bigger than them, but how much bigger? And he just gave you a mashal of how much bigger. It's not an exaggeration, Rabbi Yisrael. What it means is this. If you have 300 halachas and you know one halacha, you can pass it exactly one shayla. If you know 299 halachas, you may be able to pass 299 shaylas exactly as is. If you have all 300 halachas, you can pass get a billion shaylas because you have the total picture. You, once you have the whole total picture, you're able to give over everything that you want to anybody that you want. So it's not a guzman. You're talking about millions and billions of times as much. And he can take it as rebbein because certain areas of chokhma pashut faded out of Klal Yisrael. We don't have it. It doesn't affect our normal living. Aval ha'maaseh, it's missing as far as teyfi goes. And that's what he was tying to them. You guys caused it to be missing. So when we say, you know, melamed, totality means something. When I learn a whole mesechta, a whole sugya, a whole something. Not just, you know, a little here, a little here, a little smed. Man, you have nothing that way. I mean, obviously, you have something. You can't say it's Nick 11. You don't have one or two halachas, but you don't have a picture of the whole inyan. And if you don't have a picture of the inyan, you can't pass kishayas. So to go back to the case of Michal Moshivas Atzah, what I think happened was Michal had a bunch of kashas that he had over the time. And by the Vashiva explaining it to him in a certain way, it didn't answer one kasha. Each one may have answered 20 kashas. So when he came back and talked about the different sugyas, he answered 20 kashas. He was able to talk for months and months in something that he only heard a few hours in. That's it, clarified and completed certain subjects. Just want to end with this. Obviously, this is what everybody is supposed to do. The Kabbalah and the understanding of who I am, total commitment to the Dvar Hashem, and make sure that we continue the Masechta. That's everyone. But I think there are two points that go into Tatoli Madrege, that a person, that not everyone accepts it the same way. There's a Rashi in Pash Pesach, the one in Pesachim, that he's the ones with the Pesachim just now, is that the Biur Chometz, according to Rashi, the Ikea Biur Chometz is Bittul. Now, that sounds very strange. I mean, the Matzis is still in the world, it's still right there in front of you, and you're saying that that's the Ikea Biur Chometz. Yes, that's the Ikea Biur Chometz. Because what the Torah wants from you, by saying that that's Biur Chometz, it wants when you say that Kol Chamira v'Chamira, the Yikir v'Shusi, have a Ke'afra di'aro, meaning it has no value. You got a $500 bottle of scotch over there. That's Ganschum. Not even water. It's garbage. It's just like when someone finds an Avodah Zarah, if you go out with the Aztecs, where obviously some people still find digs, they still find something there. It could be a diamond, a golden getchke with all the things in there. It is worth nothing. It is ke'afra di'avi. You don't even feel any loss when you go like this because you didn't have anything. The only tzar is we don't have that madrege. So what happens is it's gold. It's $500 worth of schnapps. How am I going to get rid of it? How can I do it? And now, oh, but Gvansham told me to. Okay, I'll try and get my mind to it. You were not mevatel your dasya to the Rebbeinu Shleim. You still has value to you. And that's the Torah that we have. So the Rebbeinu Shleim wants the true Kabbalah of Das Hashem is that you mevatel your das, that if he says it's worthless, it's worthless. It's one point. Second point is the Rashi in Parashas V'Chukeisai. Rashi in Parashas V'Chukeisai says, you'll think that he goes on limit that atzias hamitzvahs hoksiv mitzvaysai tishmu. Doesn't even have a v'chulu in most of the chumashim. And I think it's mitzvaysai tishmu. Why didn't he say mitzvaysai atzisa moisom? Why say tishmu? We know from Gemara and Kedushin, Amid Zayin, I think Amid Aleph, that it means learning Tishmeru. We have Rashi in Eschanon, Rashi in Re'ei. The word Tishmeru is to learn. Lilmud, Lamed, Lishma, Velasis. It's two different types of learning. There's a Lilmud for teaching, that's Lamed. There's a greater one to do, is a Lishma, the type of learning that's necessary. So what exactly is Rashi say here? So I think Rashi is telling you that I don't have to wait for the Asiyas HaMitzvahs to actually, when you say put on a pair of film and so on, that's when I do the mitzvah. I do the mitzvah, I'm a Shemesh Shabbos on Tuesday. Right? I'm not a Shemesh Shabbos only on Shabbos. There's no Shabbos, so what do you mean you're a Shemesh Shabbos? Because in me is Shabbos. Here also, when I learn it, it becomes how I react to them. And it's immediately how I react to them. So you really, the Asiyah is changing you. And that's why, you know, when they say, you know, you hear stories about the bodies of the Gedolim, they didn't rot, whatever it is there, what's pshat in that? The body of the Kaddish is because they were the repository for the Neshama Tahira, or the body was Tahir. The Pasha is the body was Tahir. All the chemicals that are made to work, to make a person happy, sad, hungry, this, were all geared to the Tahir. And therefore the body was a holy body. And that's why it doesn't rot. And the same thing here, so that's what the Benshu wants. So what is the point of Asiyah then, when you're actually putting on the film? That's your test. You've made film, the learning part of you. Let's see how you put on a pair of film. And if you put on a pair of film, 1, 2, 3, whatever, that doesn't make a difference. You put on what the speed doesn't, I mean, I meant to say, you know, without machshava. So then obviously, you didn't perfect the mitzvah yet. And if you got to keep working. And if you're learning a mesechta or an inyan about that, a particular mitzvah, every day that you do the mitzvah, we expect to see a change in you. If you're learning about brachas, about tefillah, so the daven today is before I learned brachas. Tomorrow I'm davening after I learned part of brachas. The next day is after I learned more of brachas. And therefore there should be an elevation in my tefillah, in my attitude toward that Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what it means when you become an Eved Hashem. It's not that you become, oh yeah, I got to do it. It becomes that it's automatically the instructions are happening. I'll tell you a maisa. They'll give this dimyan. Maybe I was once by a zokin. You know, was obviously now a yid that was sick and was not too much by das. And someone made kiddush, and the nurse, I remember, it was a Korean. It's Lavdavki, but I mean it's more nikkadah. She wasn't Jewish. And she picked up the wine to give him to drink, and he refused to drink it. Now he held his mouth closed and shook his head back and forth. And the nurse got very upset. You know, he always takes everything from me. You know, I don't understand why is he, you know, thing. And then another member of the family went over and took a different glass of wine and gave it and drank it calmly. And then it hit most people. I go to chassid, I go all over the place. I get served by goyim all the time, wine. I don't even remember there's such a halachi, gotta be nizel, by wine, right? But here's somebody, obviously, whatever it is, he's not, he consciously, talk to anyone, can't get, become. But this much he knows, I don't drink wine handled by a goy. And that's in there, and it's buried in there. And there's so much that was the reaction. That shows the godless of what Torah went into this person. And I think of it. Just to say that the Shuism and Allah Zechazayim Taka, the true Kabbalah Satera, today, hopefully to the highest Madrega, the Shaykh, but definitely to the basic ones, that we should be Zechah, that the Bain Shul Taka Rabachmanas and us and be the Melech and the Shiach and Heir be me.